God answers prayer. And we're talking about hidden prayer, God's answers to hidden prayer. Christ said that pray, go enter into your closet, pray quietly. And God who hears in secret will openly answer. So we may ask our Father for all that we need. But the question is, what should burden our hearts? We must be careful to keep our prayers unselfish. And you remember the verse of James 4:3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts or upon your pleasures. So the point here is not everything is appropriate. Everything's possible with God. That's not the problem. The problem's not on God's end. The problem's on our end. And just like a good parent, he's not going to give you a pony if you live in an apartment. He's not going to give you these things that you might ask for that would do you no good or would become a stumbling block. Christ's examples in the Lord's Prayer are quite modest: daily bread, forgiveness, deliverance from sin's power. And these are certainly the most important parts of the Christian life. So, you know, he gave us a great summary and maybe a little hint of the way we ought to think about this. Do we need to belabor this thing of food and drink and shelter? Well, no, God promises that. But he does not often limit us to such simplicity. Perhaps we're not the richest people in the country, but we have more than the food and the drink and the shelter that we need to survive. So he supplies us with plentiful food. If ever he lets us get hungry or do without, it's to enrich our spiritual nature. So we might properly ask for health, for comfort, for the joys of home. That's not bad. If he refuses our prayer, then we'll say, yes, sir. We'll respond with Jesus. Not what I will, but what thou wilt. Respond as Paul. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And we know in the end, it's all going to be, as Solomon said, dedicating the temple, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. We know that to be true. At the end of the day, the end of the life, we're not going to say he just forgot. Yes.
When it talks about Solomon and the things that he built, it said everything that came into his heart to do, he did it.
Yeah. He just had unlimited workforce, unlimited wealth, and the unlimited wisdom to figure out how to do it right. So, all of these things. But, again, going back to what should burden our hearts, when we pray for spiritual blessings, we will never ask in vain. Do you recognize that that's ultimately the purpose of us being left here after we get saved? For us to learn, for us to change, for us to become Christ-like. Luke 11:13, Jesus explains, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give, notice, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We can count on an abundant answer when we're asking for our spiritual growth, our spiritual blessing. Now, you have to understand this. If you're praying for patience, he may give you trouble that you may exercise patience. That's, you don't exercise patience by eating a chocolate sundae. I'm going to have to get through this, boy. That's tough. You know, it's when you're going through hard times. And so he'll give you the opportunity to test out that patience. But we ask for spiritual growth, and he will give it. But I wanted to share with you tonight not only this concept of how we should ask, what we should ask, where we're safe to ask. But just to unbutton this thing and say, look at what God can do. Answers to prayer. You have to recognize that this day and age, God answers most of our prayers without much drama. The sick person gets well. The problem resolves itself. The threats that we're praying about never happen. You know, the threat doesn't come true. Sometimes, however, the answers are quite dramatic. I'm following through a book called The Hidden Life of Prayer by David McIntyre, and he read this, and I'll quote this to you then. Once, when a sudden and terrific hailstorm was pouring down upon the fields and likely to occasion serious damage, a person rushed into the room of Johann Albrecht Bengel. He's 1687 to 1752. He was a Lutheran clergyman. And he burst into the room and he cried, "Alas, sir, everything will be destroyed. We shall lose all." There are hailstorms that just beat a field of grain into the mud, and they have nothing. Bengel went composedly to the window, opened it, lifted up his hands to heaven, and said, "Father, restrain it." And the tempest actually abated from that moment. Here's an old engraving, I guess, of Johann Albrecht Bengel, or in the Latin form, Johannes Albertus Bengalius. Looks like a serious-minded guy, but he could talk to God, couldn't he? A book called the Pietas Hallensis is little else than an enumeration of deliverances granted to Dr. August Hermann Frank, 1663 to 1727, in Halle, I think that's Germany, in connection with the orphan houses at Halle, which he instituted and ran. Here is one occasion that he talked about. "Another time I stood in need of a great sum of money, insomuch that 100 crowns would not have served the turn." A crown in this case is not what the kings wear, but a piece of money. "A friend of mine had come to see me, and with him I joined in prayers and found myself much moved." You think about this, he's burdened with this need, this debt, this money that has to be paid. "Yet," he said, "I found myself much moved to praise and magnify the Lord for all his admirable dealings toward mankind, even from the beginning of the world." And, I'm praying about the wrong thing here. I'm praying thanks. "The most remarkable instances came readily to my remembrance while I was praying. I was so elevated in praising and magnifying God that I insisted only on that exercise of my present devotion, and found no inclination to put up many anxious petitions to be delivered of the present necessity." He says, I kind of put my need behind me as I was praising God and just exploring in my thinking all these wonderful things that he had done since the beginning of time. "At length, my friend, taking his leave, I accompanied him to the door. He opened the door, let him out, where I found the steward," the man who was waiting for the money, "waiting on one side of the door for the money he wanted, on the other a person who brought 150 crowns. He said 100 crowns wouldn't have done it, but here was a man with 150 crowns for the support of the hospital. There it was. See? You take the time to give praise to God, he is honored to meet your needs. Augustus Hermanus Francius. What would our names be like? Nancius Tunisius. Yes. Tunisius. We are more familiar with George Mueller, 1805 to 1898. He was a Christian evangelist and the director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. He related that he started the orphanage to show Christians that God answered prayer. he wanted to take care of orphans. He saw that was a need. But he took on this job to teach people that God answers prayer. For example, on one well-documented occasion, he called all the children to the table, even though there was nothing to eat in the house. He led them in prayer, thanking God for his provision. As they finished praying, the baker knocked on the door with sufficient fresh bread to feed everyone. And the milkman gave them plenty of fresh milk because his cart broke down in front of the orphanage. We can't deliver this. We've got to give it to somebody. Could you use it? Yeah, we can. Then he recalled the Lord's deliverance from another sharp difficulty. The only inconvenience that we had in this case was that our dinner was about half an hour later than usual. That was it. Such a thing, as far as I remember, scarcely ever occurred before and has never occurred since. Look at this face. Isn't that kindly guy? He would sit up through the night, head cocked a little bit to the left, and he would just pray. People said, you needed to go to bed. He says, I get more rest this way. Another man who started orphanages, William Quarrier, 1829 to 1903, in 1876, using charitable donations, built the orphan homes of Scotland on a piece of land now in Inverclyde and between the villages of Kilmacombe and Bridge of Weir. Excuse me. Every month, he balanced the accounts. If at any time it appeared probable that the balance would fall on the wrong side, he called his fellow workers to prayer and invariably, without variation, always the needed funds came in. Almost at the close of his life, he testified that he had never been in debt 1 hour. This led Charles Spurgeon to say, playing on the Elijah's challenge to the priests of Baal, Spurgeon exclaimed, "The God that answereth by orphanages, let him be God." And a rather dignified painting of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. So, are we to set about looking for spectacular answers to prayer? I think not. But as we go through our life and there are difficulties, this challenge tonight is for this purpose, that we don't hesitate to ask. Because, you know, even the baker and the milkman set out long before the children were called to the table for food. And the breakdown happened. They saw there was no way to fix it, and the food would be ruined. And so then they found out what to do with it. So, God said to the milkman, I know some people that need the milk more than the people you're planning to deliver to, so you get a breakdown right here. So we don't need to hesitate. We don't need to be bothered about it. We don't have to worry. We don't have to feel that inside internal cramping, you know, that comes with, oh no, what are we going to do? We turn to him. He will give us the strength to get by without it or through it, or he will deliver us. There was a time I went to visit a man who had a diagnosed with a brain tumor. And, you know, I try to be careful what I say, but I found myself, as I was there praying for him, because he was going into surgery the next day, I found myself saying, thank you, Lord. We know that you'll bring him out just fine. Thank you for that. And even as I was saying it, I'm saying, what am I saying? Why am I doing that? I'm presuming upon God, but I wasn't actually. I hadn't planned that. It didn't come out of my mouth by my own thinking. It just happened, and I got to thinking, like, well, that's just God doing it. And the next day, they took out a tumor the size of a lemon, cut big flap on the side of his head, opened up a skull, took out a lemon size tumor, and cleaned it out, washed him up, sewed him back up, and he was fine after that. It was amazing. So God can do things. We've been in situations where we had no human resources, but going to God in prayer and trusting God for his provision has always been sufficient. 50 years doing this, right? Comments or questions?